He joins us now from Philly. Nilsson, how you doing?
Yeah, doing just fine, man. How are you?
I am excellent. Are you in like a phone booth right now? What's happening?
No.
Oh, okay,
I'm
there
in
you
our
go.
room. It's
Okay.
out that way.
Oh yeah, no, it just sounded like you were in a tin can there for a second.
Oh yeah, no. I'm just sitting in our room.
Now,
Monica is on the other bed, not working, but probably still working.
oh, you and Awanek are bunk buddies.
Oh yeah,
Nice.
we're room buddies here, man.
Oh.
He just had an afternoon nap. He was really tired. He got up at 9, went for a walk around the city, and then he needed a nap, so he just woke up.
Wow, did he probably set his alarm and had his mom call him, so that's nice.
Oh yeah, because we were up really late last night. We went to bed at like 12:15, so it was a late night for Maddie.
I know that you spoke to both McTavish and Draisaitl today. What did
Yeah.
McTavish say of interest?
Geez, a couple of, I guess when it comes to the draft, actually we started with the talk about the free agents and if whether or not the extra 5 or 6 days that they've started here over the last couple of years drives the price up at all. And maybe not when it came to Keaton, because they went out and got Keaton and tried to get him done on their own. But I think maybe it will when other teams are having a chance to talk with some of these guys. He didn't seem to think that was the case. As far as the draft pick goes, he didn't really lead into too much as to what they're going to be doing there, just saying that they have 5 or 6 different scenarios that they're looking at right now. So if we were to sit down and actually look at it, I think it's pretty basic to see Ekblad goes 1, Reinhardt goes 2, then what do the Oilers do? Or Bennett goes 2, then what do the Oilers do? So he basically said they're about down to 5 or 6 different scenarios, so they've got all these different plans ready for that as well. And then he briefly, I asked him a little bit about, you know, you can say that Sam Gagner's being shopped all you want, but if nobody's interested in him, then there's really much of a market for him at all. And I kind of asked him if, in other times when we talked about the Oilers trying to move Sam Gagner, it was at different times of year, I guess always around the draft and stuff, but there always hasn't been names like Spezza and Kessler out there. And you have to think that if a team's looking for a center, those would be the guys that obviously would be on the radar first. So I asked him if maybe in a little bit of a way, it's got to be difficult to drum up any sort of interest for Sam Gagner right now when you've got not only those two guys, but Paul Stastny is going to be a free agent as well as these other centers out there. So I would think right now if a team's looking for a center, Sam Gagner's quite a ways down on the list. And he did mention that he hasn't talked about it with Sam a lot yet, but they're hoping that he has a bounce-back season. And I know he probably said this on your show as well, but he once again talked about him, you know, maybe being a fit on the wing again as well. So we briefly hit on the Gagner stuff today too.
Well, I would really hope that Dallas Eakins has already spoke to Sam Gagner about that. Get him in the mindset 3 months earlier, practice and you know, wherever he's at, getting comfortable on the wall. It's easier responsibility, but it's different type of strategy on the wall. And I think you want to give that guy as much advance notice as possible.
Well, yeah, you're right. And Sam's a skilled enough player that I think he would be able to, it might not happen right away, but I think eventually he would be able to adjust. Now, he'd have some problems, you're right, he'd have to work on his strength and everything along the boards, but whether it's in this draft, which it likely will be, adding a center, or maybe somewhere along the way here, adding another center, if Sam Gagner wants to remain a member of the Edmonton Oilers, whether he wants to or not, he may end up having to move to the wing, so it's probably good for him, even if they haven't talked about it, to kind of start thinking about what he'll need to do to be effective on the wing.
Now, we've got the Nikitin stuff out of the way. He's signed, sealed, delivered. The team came out yesterday. We're going to talk with Mark Fain. They've also approached Derek Englund's people. A lot of people will go, yes, that'll make this defense deeper if they can add a body to Nikitin. But what about that top pairing guy? McTavish isn't going to give any of that up, obviously. But are you hearing about anything on that front? Because this team's going to get markedly better, they need to address that top pairing at some point.
Yeah, you're right. And all these other additions are going to accomplish one thing, and I guess that's kind of what he talked about today as far as Nikitin goes. He essentially said today they, in an ideal scenario, they would like to add one more defenseman, so whether that's Sane or Englund or whoever, and then two more forwards is what he suggested today up front. And that's as far as free agency goes, you're not going to get a lot of great guys this year, but you should be able to fill those holes, maybe not with the guys that we all see as ideal in there, but as far as finding a top pairing defenseman goes, A, you're not getting it in unrestricted free agency this year, and B, they don't get moved very often via trade either. So I this is going to sound awful, but Craig McTavish, I think, as far as his blue line goes, I think he's got a plan here where he either some sort of big name does pop up and he uses these young guys to try to go get him, but that's an unlikely scenario. So when you're looking at it on the back end right now, and he mentioned it today, he used Nikitin as an example, and whoever the other guy is that they're going to try to bring in on the blue line, he talked about the plan of not being forced to use Darnell Nurse and Marty Marincin and Oscar Klefbom more than they want. So to me, almost the sense I get, you know, like I said, in a perfect world, yeah, you bring in two top pairing defensemen, but that's not going to happen. To me, it sounds like they want Petrie and Justin Schultz to continue to try to emerge in those roles for now, and then to have these other veteran guys in place down in the 4, 5, 6 area so that when an injury does pop up, you're not forced to have three kids in the lineup at the same time. Maybe only one of those guys will come up every once in a while. But I didn't get the sense that anything is even remotely on the radar when it comes to a top-pairing defenseman.
Dustin Nielsen joins us from Philadelphia on Matthew Wanick's 1999 Motorola flip phone. Nielsen, I want to ask you about, well, Berglund, by the way, just signed a 3-year extension in St. Louis, $3.7 million a year, which makes him very tradable if they want to get Jason Spezza. Just throw that one out there. Was there any talk, you know, if I'm connecting the dots of a player, a guy that the Oilers need, and this is a role player guy lower in the lineup, but Komarov, who played over in the KHL last year, you know, he had some connections with Dallas Eakins in the past. Has there been any talk at all? Do you think the Oilers are interested in him?
I could see maybe they'd be interested in him. As far as forwards go today, it was actually kind of funny because McTavish used the example, and we were talking about puck movers. I think initially the question, I can't remember who it came from, but I think initially the question was about a puck-moving defenseman, and I think Craig may have taken it as just puck movers in general, and he used an example. He said this team, and that would be the Oilers, are they need to find somebody, and he used Grabowski as the example. Which, of course, I believe, is Grabowski not a UFA again this year?
Yes, he is.
More than one. Yes, yep. He is. So he used Grabowski's example in the situation that, you know, Washington went out and found a guy who was able to come in and fill a role that was left vacated by Mike Ribeiro. So I think what he was trying to say there, as far as when it comes to the forward that he's looking to add, you know, he'd like somebody who can come in and maybe fill in at some point in the top six. And I don't know if there's a lot of guys that are out there that are capable of doing that. But I thought it was interesting that he used Grabowski as an example, and Grabowski is once again an unrestricted free agent. So if they're looking for that type of forward, Komarov may not be that guy. But I would have to think with the, like you said, the connection that he has had with Dallas Eakins in the past. And we've seen Dallas Eakins, since he's come in, go to some of these relationships that he's had in the past, and some of them have worked and some of them haven't. But I would think for those reasons alone, Craig McTavish at least would have some sort of radar on Komarov.
Did you say you had a chance to talk to Dreisaitl?
Yes. Actually, we talked to Dreisaitl for like 20 minutes today. He's pretty well spoken.
Yeah, give me your take on him, Dustin, because I don't have a crystal ball. It's just my opinion. I think it's a dead lock unless something really funky happens. But if he's there in the three hole, they take him unless Ekblad is. That's the only possible decision there is to make. To me, he's everything they need. And while Gregor's quick to say, and I believe him, you don't want to push the kid into the NHL if he's not ready. He might be that second line center at the start of this year that the team needs. But your take after spending some time with him?
Yeah, and you know what? You may not be far off, Gregor. I mean, you're both probably right. I think we had Corey Kluson on our show this morning, and when I asked him if he could play next year, he goes, yeah, he thinks he could if the situation is right. And I don't know if the situation at Edmonton is ideal, but obviously his coach and junior, and I know they're going to say that once in a while to kind of pump up their players, but I got the sense that Corey Kluson actually believes that he could play in the league next season. Now, with that being said, when I met him today, talked with a bunch of the other kids, but I guess I wasn't expecting, because, you know, he's a German kid, he's come over here, I wasn't expecting what he brought to the table as far as, and I know it was me, Tichkowski, Maddie, we were all there and we were talking with him. And he was very impressive. He was very mature. He attempted, like when you ask the kid a question, he actually thought about it. And then he gave a non-cliched answer, which is difficult for some guys who've been playing in the league for 10 years to do, let alone a kid who's not from Canada and is only 18 years old. So he impressed me quite a bit today.
I don't want to say he said all the right things, but I mean, Matheson was throwing some, and Matty's been around for a long time, and he was having some fun with him. And Draisaitl was joking around a little bit as well. He was pretty calm and cool. All he talked about was how his dream growing up as a child was to play hockey in Canada, and obviously he got that opportunity with the Prince Albert Raiders, and he made the most of it, especially this year. But he seems like a pretty good fit. And Robin, you're probably right. Like when you look at what's going to happen here right now, if we're going to have fun with it, Ekblad would probably go one. And then a lot of people are saying Buffalo is rather interested in Sam Reinhart at two. And if it's Bennett and Draisaitl on the board at three, it's an absolute no-brainer. The Oilers will take Leon Draisaitl. The only thing that I think could make things really interesting is if, for some reason, Buffalo takes Sam Bennett at two, or somehow Ekblad slips down. But if they're posed with the decision between Sam Reinhart and Leon Draisaitl, I think there will probably be some pretty good back and forth in the scouting staff, because talked to one scout today who said Draisaitl has very good hockey sense, but on the other side of it, Sam Reinhart has extreme hockey sense. Like, he thinks the game even at a higher level than all these other top prospects. So then you're looking at a guy who they're projecting to play at 6'3", 215 pounds, Draisaitl, which would be a good fit, or this kid who thinks the game better, significantly better than all the other guys are available, and I think that would be an interesting discussion, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Reinhart and Ekblad will be gone 1-2, whatever the order is, and then I would agree with you, and I would think Draisaitl is a no-brainer at three.
One quick one, lastly, on the Vancouver Canucks, all the trade rumors. I know Dale Talon was out saying he's had one offer. He's not sure how you know, if he's going to get any other ones. We hear this every year for the number one pick, and it hasn't happened since 2003 that anybody has traded down. Do you actually see Vancouver? Like, are the rumors there? All the media guys are together. Does anybody believe the Garrison Shinkarik number six rumor to have any sort of truth to it? Because that seems like a lot.
Yeah, that does seem like a lot. And most of the guys that we're talking to are just assuming that everything that Florida's listening to right now is just not going to be enough. I mean, and you said it, Gregor. You don't trade down. We talk about it every single draft. I'm sure I've said this in all of our shows the last few years. And when you're down here doing your show, we talk about every different scenario of every team in the top 10 trading up, because the Leafs like Ekblad, so they want to trade up. And it just doesn't happen. So I would be stunned. It's an interesting scenario with the Canucks simply because Dale Talon is not afraid to take on salary, and we've seen Dale Talon do some interesting things in the past, and obviously they've had some connections on some other deals. But at this point, I don't think there's anything to make us believe that the Vancouver Canucks are going to be picking first overall tomorrow night.
Millie, have fun. Make sure you charge that Motorola phone, and we'll chat with you tomorrow.
This is a brand new iPhone 5. Does it sound bad?
You're in an echo chamber.
Yeah, people are wondering if you're in a potato sack or something.
This is unreal. I don't get it. Like, I'm on the fifth floor of a hotel and a brand new phone.
We'll call your hotel room next time. I know you and Awanek are under code name, so no one knows where you're staying. So just text it to Meg next year.
All right.
Okay, man.